This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hey guys, awesome episode today. A guy's girlfriend gets a tattoo. Another guy wants to know how to be less cocky in the workplace. And a girl who's a fifth year doesn't know how to hang out. Check it out, share it with friends. Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side. Stand Up New York Labs are here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. I'll say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Let me turn that back around and encourage you to keep doing that. Keep telling your friends, your coworkers, your brothers, your sisters, your fraternity brothers, your sorority sisters, your pledge brothers. Maybe there's a guy in your room that you're hazing right now, and tell him to get on board with the J Train Podcast. Subscribe, tell a friend, keep sending those emails. It's jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. And let me just tell you, I'm loving the snaps that you guys are sending me. I get these snaps sent to me on Snapchat of you listening to the podcast, and it feathers my nuts every time. I see where you're listening. I see who's listening. And it's really all the crayons in the box. We got police officers. We had a guy, you can go to my Instagram, Jared Fried. Some guy wrote to me that he's a cop and he was transferring a prisoner. And he had the podcast on, and the prisoner loved the podcast. We're getting listeners everywhere. It's crazy. So keep sending me your snaps. I'm JTrain56. Keep telling your friends and spreading the word. We got a couple announcements before we get started. September 22nd at Stand Up New York, we're going to do a JTrain podcast show. And we have some people that have on the show that have been regular guests here that we've had a few times. And they're gonna do a short set, and then we're gonna do live questions from the audience. That only works if we have audience people that like the show. And you know, I don't want like a guy from Denmark being like, you know, how do I hook up with my girlfriend? It's not going to work. I need you, the listener, if you're in New York City, September 22nd, Stand Up New York at 8 o'clock. Greg Stone, Brendan Ayer, Lisa Traeger, Nimesh Patel, Dan Soder, all people are going to be on the show. They're going to be taking your questions live, so come on out to that. Also, I'm coming to some colleges. I'm actually coming Hilton Head, the 28th and 29th. I'm going to be at the Comedy Club at Hilton Head, South Carolina. They're bringing me back. So if you're around Hilton Head, you can come down to that. Also, I'm going to be coming to some schools, I think Virginia Tech and some places in Florida. Email gina@kpcomedy.com if you want me to come to your school. That's gina@kpcomedy.com. She gets the process started for you. You have to get, there's money at your school that you can access, but you got to go to her. She gives you materials, tells you who to talk to, and it takes a little footwork, but that'll bring me there. So that is all from me. I'm very excited about today's guest. Greg Rogel, thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I didn't realize this was one-on-one. It's a little daunting.
Well, why?
I never do these things.
What? You never do them?
No, I've done three podcasts my entire life.
Your entire life?
Yeah, I lack that self-promotional gene. I've been doing this 20 years. I don't even have a website.
You have no website?
No, no.
And it's you're hilarious. I mean, if you guys don't know Greg, you've been on everything.
Yeah, I just did a world tour with Russell Peters.
It's
3 years.
We just met, and yeah. I watched you on stage. It's like you're great and so funny, and all of you go follow Greg on Twitter because he doesn't do any self promotion. I'll do it for him. at Greg with two G's, Rogel with two L's.
Yes.
So go follow, support Greg because he's super funny. You went on world tour We talked about it a little. I mean, that's got to be an experience of a lifetime.
Yeah,
it
lasted almost 3 years. We did you know, all of Canada, all of the United States, Africa, India, Sri Lanka, Australia, all of the Middle East. We did Saudi Arabia in January. It was in the middle of the desert to avoid the morality police.
Yeah.
5,000 Sunni Muslims, women on the left, men on the right, with a big sheet separating them right down the middle.
And everyone crazy. Just fucked through the sheet. That's what they sell you, right? No, but I'm saying, like, something like that, like, could you ever imagine doing comedy in those places?
Oh, no. In fact, he asked me 4 years ago if I wanted to go, and I tried to put a set together for it. And I'm a Jew, so I thought, like, I'd be offensive just for being
a Jew.
Just
being there.
Yeah, and I panicked. I thought I had maybe 11 minutes that wasn't going to get me killed.
Yeah.
So I told him I couldn't do it. And then we were working in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia,
okay.
which I had no idea was a Muslim country before I went on stage.
I mean, you just informed me.
Yeah, I had no yeah. idea. You know, it was 9,000 people, and I found out the day before we were in Singapore. When I walked off the stage, Russell Peters comes on. He says, "Have a hand for Greg. I'm bringing Jews to Kuala Lumpur tomorrow." And everyone went, "Ooh!" And I'm like, "Well, what? Ooh?" He goes, "Well, yeah, it's a Muslim country."
Like, no oh, way.
So, yeah, but they were great.
But you went up, and what did they get yeah. the jokes? Like,
oh, they were great. Yeah, they understood everything.
It yeah,
they were a really good audience. Before the show, I asked the promoter if there was any kind of language restrictions. Mm-hmm. And he said, "No, you can do what you want." I'm like, "Good, because I'm going to talk about being Jewish." He goes, no, don't do that. Because they don't recognize Israel. Don't do that. But then
in Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, yeah. Russell's brother was like, he's the tour manager. He's like, "Fuck this guy. You do whatever you want." I'm like, "All right." And then a couple hours later, I saw the other promoter. And I'm like, "Yeah, this guy's giving me a hard time saying I shouldn't talk about being Jewish." And he like panicked. He's like, no, don't tell him you're Jewish.
Oh, really?
So I texted Russell's brother. I'm like, "Look, I don't think these guys are trying to boss me around. I think they have a general
they're
concern
trying to protect you.
For my welfare, you know?" And he's like, "Fuck them. You're Rogel, you do it. Don't worry about it." So
you're kind of, Rogel. You don't have a website. Do it. Yeah.
So I put it in the middle when they're already liking me.
Yeah.
I mentioned I was Jewish and nobody cared. So after that show, they were great.
Yeah.
And after the show, Russell's like, "Are you ready for the Middle East?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll do it."
Now that gave you the jumping off point.
Yeah. That gave you some confidence.
And Russell Peters, like, everyone in the world knows him.
Oh, he's huge.
It's just wild
arenas.
To me.
You know, we did Madison Square Garden, the O2 Arena in London. Arenas worldwide.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's amazing. Do you think that, I mean, like, is it just the internet has made us all be able to speak the same language? It's like, you know, is like this the way we're communicating? Like, for them to know about, you know, kind of Jewish humor.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not really making doing
fun.
Jewish
I know,
humor.
Not Jewish humor, but I'm saying making fun of yourself and referencing a Jew when they're known to like not recognize Israel. Like, how do they even know?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of ignorance here in America.
Yeah.
You know,
we just assume everyone's hateful and miserable.
Right. And I think most people just want to live their lives.
Yeah.
You know, people were bending over backwards to make me feel comfortable. Everybody knew I was a Jew.
Yeah.
And we were in, you know, we were in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Jordan. And everybody treated me really, really well. There was zero issues. The only issues I had were like self-righteous Jews on Facebook. You know, kept saying, "How come you're not playing Israel?"
And, oh,
you know,
really?
Yeah.
Well, that I always say that like about like I hate when people call like Trump a racist. Because I'm like, yeah, maybe he said some ignorant things, but like to call someone a racist, like that's a serious.
Well, in Trump. Trump, he courts racists, and he's an opportunist.
Fine, maybe
so
he, come
almost,
on,
it's
come
worse,
off, bring
it's worse
your racist people.
I think it's worse than
but
being.
But I like my parents. Like I've said a million times, like my parents are probably going to vote for Trump, and they're the only people, the only you know race they hate are other Jews. You know, that's the only one I've ever heard them talk shit about, and I'm like, yeah, I got you know. So I just feels like it's interesting that like your own. Are the hardest on you.
Oh, yeah. I have people telling me turn. I was going to get my head cut off. And
really?
Yes. Yeah, kind of nerve-wracking.
I mean, we were just talking. So you went all over the world, and you have this great opportunity. You and Russell, good buddies, and you know everybody.
Yeah, I met him at the Cellar 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He was just, I'd never met him before, and he knew me. Mm. He said he was a fan of mine, and I didn't fucking believe him.
Yeah.
And then he invited me, he said, "You want to do a date with me?" I'm like, yeah. So we did Constitution Hall in D.C. It was like a 4,000 seat. It's a beautiful theater.
Yeah.
Then after the show, we're just having some food with Eric B., DJ from the 80s.
Okay.
And he just turns to me and goes, "You want to go to London?" I'm like, yeah, all right. So the next day, I get an email from his brother.
Yeah.
You're going to do the whole European tour, which was amazing.
I mean, now you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's you're jumping on the jet. It's not like get on Delta flight.
Oh, no. I'm the only Jew on the planet who has a gold status on Emirates Air. First class cabins with showers.
Showers, and everything.
Private cabins. Yeah, it's amazing.
And you're on masseuse and the whole deal.
The whole thing. They give you pajamas. You're on the tarmac just walking around with martinis and pajamas.
It's hilarious. You ever meet chicks?
Oh, yeah.
On the flights and you bring them into the...
Not on the flights. No,
okay.
No.
But in like the lounge, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, after the shows.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Yeah.
So all of you guys should go follow Greg. He's super funny and great. At Greg Rogel, 2 G's, 2 L's. Go follow him, support him. No website. So
no website. No,
don't even search the web.
Yeah, and I have very little Twitter presence
But get involved. Yeah. And maybe he'll tweet out a date at some point.
Yeah, possibly.
Give it a go. You ready for the emails?
Sure.
Let's do it. We're going to answer some emails. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Here with Greg Rogel. Let's do this one. I like... This one's a little bit... Tattoo. Okay.
The midget from Fantasy Island?
Exactly. This is J Train. So the girl I love got a tattoo and I can't get over it. I told her I'd be fine with a small one, but I wasn't happy about it. She went on and on how she didn't want me to lose attraction to her. And if I said no, she wouldn't do it. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she gets a big old rib cage tattoo that covers a whole lot of territory without warning. Yes, I know I know some tats can be hot. This one is not. I want to still be with her because I care about her and I love her. But how do you date someone you're no longer attracted to physically? This girl's a solid 9, by the way. Or was, by my standards. Thanks for the help.
Well, he's no longer attracted to her because she has a tattoo?
Apparently.
I'm thinking he might be gay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's first call, gay.
Tattoo's not going to turn me off.
Well, that's the thing.
You could shear the legs off of a 9 and I'm still going to go on banging.
That legless 9, you're like, oh. Need that. Yeah. I totally agree with you. But I think this is a me problem, not a you problem.
Yeah.
You know, like you look at one of these, like, I don't think we're all a tattoo away from losing a boner.
No way.
No way.
No way.
And I always say, like, that's why I want to date a hairstylist. Because they always change up their hair. It's like dating 7 different girls.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, without having to change, you know, look at your phone. Like, you know, like it's great.
Yeah. What is it a tattoo of? If it's a giant dick, maybe, you know.
Yeah. It's another dude's penis. Just like it just says best penis I've ever had. And you're like, I don't recognize that mole. Why do you have that? I don't know. I think this is one of those situations where it's like, look in the mirror, buddy. Maybe you didn't love her as much as you thought. Also, her getting the tattoo that he's... First of all, I don't like... With anybody you date, do you ever take a stance like that?
No.
You're just like, don't do... Like, that's not your body. You don't have control over that.
No.
If anything, it makes her want to get the tattoo more.
I would think so.
Right?
Yeah.
And also, the other thing about this is that the reason he's... You have to look at the reason he's unattracted to her now. It's not because she got the tattoo. I'm sure she looks great. It's that... He is now dealing with a person that he doesn't know. He thought he was dating girl who doesn't get tattoo girl. Now he's dating girl who gets tattoo that covers half of her body girl. And what else could be different?
Right.
You know, so now you're wondering, maybe you guys don't really match up mind-wise. And this is just the first time you've ever felt that. And that's why you're like, oh, I'm not attracted to her. Don't blame the tattoo for your problems,
right.
You know, emotionally with this person.
Right.
We do that all the time. I'd be like, oh, you know, she doesn't want to go to the park. And it's like, well, no, she just doesn't, you don't like going to places with her.
Right.
It's not that the park isn't the issue. It's the person you're going with.
Right. No, it'd take a lot of ink to make me not want a 9.
jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Here with Greg Rogel, @GregRogel, 2 G's, 2 L's, coming off as cocky in the workplace. What'd you do before doing comedy?
I worked at a corrugated box factory.
Really?
Driving a Hilo. Yeah.
Isn't pleasant. The box factory like the punchline boring job?
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Yeah. You know, I just loaded skids with boxes onto a truck and counted them. And that was, did that for 40 hours a week.
Oh my God. What was the first time you got into, like, what made you go in?
Well, I was in college.
Where'd you go to school?
Albany.
Albany?
Yeah.
And that's a fun school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sold a lot of weed in Albany. That was my thing. But this is
you
in
the
80s.
Weed guy?
This is in the 80s.
Yeah.
Well, all of us, the whole suite, we all competed with each other. Like, we divvy up the weed,
yeah.
And then we'd the people knock on the door, and we'd fucking fight to see who gets to sell it.
This is the most Jewish thing I've ever heard.
Oh, all the Jews in college sell weed.
That's like walking down 47th Street, the Diamond District of of marijuana. If you walk down 47th Street in Manhattan, there's all these just Jews out there being like, buy diamonds, and you were doing that with the weed.
Yeah,
I got a good strain. I got a good mellow yellow.
Yeah, back then it was seeds or no seeds. It was the 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm old. This is the 80s.
This guy writes, Dear JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Been listening to the podcast since you were plugging MeUndies, having Mark Norman on your show, and you were opening for YouTube celebs. I opened for a YouTube celebrity, and he went on and did 20 minutes of dancing to Mariah Carey.
Wow.
And had 1,000 people screaming at the top of their lungs.
Yeah.
It was insanity.
That was like 8 weeks ago.
Yeah,
that was
now you have big boy sponsors like Wix, and you're sitting at the comedian's table at the Cellar, and you still have Mark Norman on your show, so I guess not everything's changed. Regardless, it's been a pleasure seeing you on the podcast and the podcast grow. I can't wait till more of America's youth receives sagely Talmudic wisdom. Shout out to Manson for making sure the podcast doesn't turn into the RNC. Feather back in my quill, here's my issue. I have a very specific vibe, mentality, attitude my whole life that I feel like you'd relate to. I'm competitive and assertive, but still outgoing and easygoing, if that makes sense.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make. Those are two opposite things, but I see where this is going. My whole life is I've been the one who rallies the troops and gets shit done, who goes up to girls way out of his league and invites them to rage cage. I've learned early on that I'll never get anything in life by being a pussy, that being 5'8 and a strong medium means that there'll always be someone taller, wealthier, better looking, but no one can outwork or outfund me. I'm a cocky asshole and I'm proud of it.
All right.
Okay. That shtick works great in fraternity sports teams and bro-y environments, but I've learned over the past few summers that it does not apply, does not work in internships and in the office world. I've had to really struggle each time to tone my personality down. When I've succeeded and my coworkers somehow don't think I'm a meathead, I realize how shitty I feel by being someone I'm not at work. I'm coming into my last year of college and living the office life isn't going to be a temporary summer thing anymore pretty soon. I won't be able to afford to turn people off like that. Yeah, you're supposed to not give a shit what people think, but what people think of you determines shit like promotions. I feel like a good amount of your listeners can relate, and I'm wondering what your advice is. I want to be successful, but more importantly, happy in my career. But spending 45 plus hours a week putting on a face and acting like a little bitch for the rest of my life sounds demoralizing. Is there a happy, strong medium? Do I suck it up and bear it, or do I say fuck it and go into comedy by stealing all of your jokes? Thanks, OKP listener. I don't think stealing my jokes is going to help him very much.
He's asking advice from two people who never had real jobs.
No, well, I worked in finance for a few years.
Oh, you did?
I sold life insurance and annuities, and that just wasn't for me. But like, there are people that did it, and I was like, man, I wish I loved this like you love it.
Yeah, no, there's nothing to love about that.
No. Well, maybe they act like they love it. What do you think? Have you ever dealt with someone? I mean, in comedy, you see these like big cocky personalities, I'm sure. Like, you know, have you ever, you know, how would you deal with this?
I've never towed the line. So, you know, if I had to have a day job, I would have probably offed myself a long time
ago. Yeah, it would have been over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I was pretty cocky coming out of college.
Yeah. I was the cockiest.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear where this guy's coming from. Like, I think the toughest thing, the worst thing he could, I like the email. It's a little long, but like, I like it because it just, all his personality is put on the table.
Yeah.
You know, like he's saying a lot about himself, but a lot of people can say whatever they want about themselves. You know, what he's saying, I'm a go-getter. I don't want to be a little bitch. I don't want, and all that stuff never sounds good.
Yeah. Well, it looks good on a resume, perhaps.
But the resume is all the shit you've done. You can flower it up as much as possible, but always people can always call out the bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I demonstrated how to work in a good environment. It's like, no, you didn't do shit. You know, like you can tell when someone's writing something about themselves to look good as opposed to what did you fucking do?
Yeah.
You know, so I think like the thing about hard workers is like no one wants to hear that someone's a hard worker.
Right.
Like, if someone told me they're hard work, I'd be like, okay.
It's standard bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's so easy to say you're the hardest worker in the room, but now I'm looking in the room and it's a fucking mess. You know, yeah. Why haven't you cleaned up? You know? And I think like the problem with being the hard worker is it's a lagging residual. People don't see it until later on. So you could think you're the hardest worker in the room and look around at everyone else in the room and they'll be like, you know, and no one's going to tell you.
Right.
Until it's down the line when you've had success and things come up. So I think like my advice to this guy is fucking do and stop saying.
Good advice.
Right? Yeah. Like I think in comedy you can see this a lot where you see someone like get success and you'll be like, I watch them do shit. But, you know, some people get success without doing shit.
Yeah, well, a lot of it's personality-driven.
Personality-driven.
Yeah.
But also, for this guy, the personality-driven thing is, like, he wants to tell everyone he's a hard worker. So it's like, okay, maybe you're a hard worker, but maybe...
Get to work.
Get to fucking work. Right. Yeah, the more you talk about it is the less work you're fucking doing.
Right.
And that people will realize that. That, you know, that always... Those cream... That type of cream rises to the top. As right. far as, like, oh, who's the person you see working hard all the time? That guy.
Yeah.
There's no disputing it. The more you talk about it, the more there's room to dispute it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well, in this industry, it's the same thing. You know, persistence and talent, you know, will keep you working. It might not get you to the top, but it'll keep you working.
It'll keep you going.
Yeah.
And this is really what this guy wants, to keep working and have a good job, but it'll come. You just have to trust. And if you think you're a hard worker, keep being the hard worker, and it'll come.
Right.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Greg Rogel. Two G's, two L's. listen, guys, we got a sponsor. You know him, you love him, Harry's. Stop compromising on your shave. Get started with Harry's. For far too long, you've either paid too much for a comfortable shave or you've settled for a low price but low quality razor. Harry's offers something you've never had before, a great shave at a fair price. Harry's makes its own high quality razors, cuts out the middleman, and ships them directly to you for half the price of the leading brand. Good shave, good price. It's simple. Get the best of both worlds with Harry's. That's what they want me to read. Let me tell you how I feel about Harry's. I fucking love Harry's, okay? They mail you the shit right to your door. You don't have to deal with the guy at CVS, you know, oh, let me get the condoms. They should have this for condoms, too. There's an idea, Harry's.
Yeah, why do they make it so difficult to get cut? Like, it should be in the back corner. You can just get it quietly.
Let me just get this thing. But also, like, why? I want all of my things that I need on a monthly basis just mailed to my door. And this is what Harry's does for you. You can go on the site. It's super easy to use. And here's what you do. You go get the Harry's starter set called the Truman. It's a great option for new customers and an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with promo code JTRAIN. Go to harrys.com right now. Look for the Truman set. That's HARRYS.com. Enter code JTRAIN at checkout. Get $5 off. Help support the show. Stop compromise. Give Harry's a try today. Listen, go use Harry's. Go to harrys.com. Promo code JTRAIN. They're good razors. And I know you guys don't even care about good versus bad razors. You just want cheap. They're also cheap.
Yeah, so, and go with the Truman, not the Lincoln or
not the
Kennedy.
Lincoln. You want the Truman.
Those
one.
Will cut you.
Yeah, those will get you. They'll fuck with you. Okay. You want the Truman one now. Go check it out, harrys.com. What do you think about this one? I like this. I like a female one.
I like that.
It's a chick email.
Eddie Van Halen.
Play it out. Dear JTrain, I'm a female listener. Recently, I went to one of my favorite fraternities' first parties of the semester. Although I feel a little out of the loop because I definitely don't know the girls anymore, and the guys I am close with were understandably trying to swoop on girls. Granted, I'm a fifth year, 21 years old, though, if that's relevant. And the guys that I am close with now are now alum. Now it's all newly active and actives and pledges. I feel like these are changing times, and I'm not sure how to adjust. Any advice would be appreciated. Love this podcast, and I'm always referring friends. Listen in. Thanks for responding to my snaps. Anytime. What do you think?
I recommend the full body tattoo.
Well, yeah, that'll get you a whole new group of friends. Have you ever, you know, you ever feel like you go back to something and you're like, oh, this is different?
Yeah, like right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
is this different?
Well, you know, it's, I've been doing this almost 25 years.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, it's a younger game now.
You know? With the comedy in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like the old man. I'm trying. That's why I'm doing podcasts. Now you're gonna, I'm trying to get, you know, like all this stuff has gotten ahead of me.
Yeah. Know? Well, do you ever like go back? Like you come on a podcast like this? Are you like that in itself? Is you saying okay? Let's fucking do it.
I'm adapting.
Yeah. Adapting. Yeah. That, I think that's an adaptive thing. You never want to be the guy that's like, get off my lawn.
Right.
You know, and like, what this girl could be is doing that. You could, you know, especially in, it's kind of like going back to high school and like the seniors run the school. You know what I mean? So it's like they're setting the tone for the rest of the school. You have to go back and be like, yeah, I'm up for this tone.
Right.
Or go somewhere else.
Yeah, you need to adapt and just try to relax and have fun.
Yeah. Don't be above the party.
No.
Is really the thing. Because if you walk in and you're like, well, they used to do it this way and they used to be this way, you're just yucking everyone's yum.
Yeah.
You know, everyone in that room is having the best time and you're like, and it's the worst, like, and people do it with like pledging, they do it with like, they do it with comedy. Oh, back in the 80s, everyone was making so much. Yeah, but it's not the 80s anymore.
No.
You know, it's so fucking living the reality that you're in.
Yeah.
So, and people do it with colleges. Oh, last year, the school didn't care about drinking. Okay, then fucking figure it out. You know, go drink somewhere else. Go find a new party. Get creative. So I think for her, what you're seeing isn't wrong. You're not the, like, I think junior year of college is when you run, like, you set the tone for the partying that's going on at your fraternity or your group of friends, whatever it may be. Once you're beyond that junior year, you got to let those juniors set a tone. And if you don't like it, it's okay, but don't poo-poo it. Go hang out with some other friends. Maybe that's not the place for you anymore. It's okay to grow and evolve.
Yeah, if she's you know, if you outgrow it, then move on.
And you're 21, I would invest, and I also don't think it's like, I think you being the girl at the fraternity party that doesn't know any of the other girls, that's very tough position you're putting yourself into. Because you got the guys that are trying to fuck all the girls that they don't know.
Yeah.
You got all the girls looking at you being like, why the fuck is she here? She doesn't know anyone here. Go to another place where guys are trying to swoop in on you. Right? Go to a bar. You're 21.
Yeah, go to an office party.
Yeah, fine. Go to an office party. Find a boss. You know, no, but I'm saying like, get your girls together that you do know and you have fun with and go create your own fun time at a bar. And your boys that are swooping in on young chicks are going to realize that they're not that fucking good at it. And they're going to come back to you.
There you go.
Yeah. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Greg Rogel. At Greg Rogel. 2 G's, 2 L's. Go check him out. Super funny. Fucking great. Ex banging a good friend. You ever had sex with a girl that used to date a friend?
Yeah.
Had that?
Well, they were still dating.
They were still dating?
Yeah, well, this is a while ago. Yeah. That was
what happened?
That was a mistake. Obviously. Well, we got drunk one night and I was giving her a ride. She ended up being at a bar that I was hanging out at.
Okay.
And he was away. Mm. And I went to drop her off at home because her friend had left. So I told her I'd give her a ride. And she told me she was locked out of the house. She was lying.
So she wanted to get with us.
Yeah. So then she stayed at my place. And then I let her, you know, I let her sleep. I slept on the couch. I let her sleep in the bedroom. But then she asked me to come in and just sleep in the bed.
That's always one of those like, I don't really feel comfortable. Oh, this one night of all the nights, you need a teddy bear?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you went in the room. You were like,
I went in the room.
I mean, how much can a guy take at that point?
Yeah, you know, I was drinking. She's a good looking
girl. In your defense.
I felt bad about it.
Yeah.
But
how'd you break it to the friend?
She broke it to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how did that go?
He never spoke to me again.
Never again?
No. I called him. You know, I apologized. I told him he didn't want to come hit me or do it. But once that happens, it's fucking over.
Was it a really close friend?
No, not really. I mean, we all hung out as a group of guys.
Yeah. But that's one of those things. It's tough because he looks at you as his defeat. You're not even like a person anymore.
Right.
No. Like he looks at you as someone that has, you know, and you're like a metaphor for what he couldn't add up to.
Well, I was the backstabbing asshole.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously. Yeah. But I'm saying like if you're now friends again, he's got to look at you at every turn and be like, oh, that's the thing that I, you know, that was someone that she went to instead of me.
Right. But also, it's just, it's ruined. You can't, you know, even if I saw him, I mean, it's been, I haven't seen the guy in 20 years.
Yeah.
Even if I did,
it wouldn't go well.
He'll never let that
go. This guy writes, Shalom, Jew Train. First off, big time fan of the podcast. You, man, Sam, and the guests always give serious quality advice, and I love telling my brothers and friends about the show. Keep it up. Here's the deal. I just broke up with my girlfriend about a month ago. I'm a senior at Oregon this year, and before we dated, she was one of my best friends throughout all of college. So they were best friends, and then they started dating. The breakup was shitty, but I was doing fine until I learned that she's been smacking guts with, with a close friend of mine. So they've broken up.
Right.
Now she's with the close friend. It doesn't surprise me because she's a sleut. he really left her in the dust in one sentence. But I'm definitely in a weird place as far as how to handle my friend. He and I spend a ton of time together, and most of my friends live with him. So he's always going to be around. I'm not the type of guy to hold a grudge and be a pussy about things, but it definitely hits me in the feelings. So I'm confused about how to go about the rest of the year. I could say fuck him and just be civil with him, or could try to patch it up. Neither of those options seem that appealing to me, so help me out. How do I go through this year knowing that my buddy is giving it to my ex? Thanks for the feedback, man. The podcast makes my monthly road trip from Oregon to Chicago way less shitty. What do you think?
Oh, you know...
How does he deal with
it? People are young, they fuck up. Yeah, like they were already split up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my advice would be, if you really like the guy, you should be friends, and then try to fuck whoever he's fucking down the road.
Because right now you have one.
You know what I mean? He owes you one.
Yeah, you can get him back.
Yeah, you got a freebie.
You have it in your pocket. I think with this, the fact that they were broken up and then they went, you know, own the fact that you were the first man on the moon. kind of take some pride in knowing that you were the first, and be happy about that. You know, right now, the reason they're together is because it's easy. If you think about it, the easiest next person to date is the friend you made through your boyfriend, because you didn't really have to try and go out and meet anyone new. So they're really coming together out of
convenience.
Yeah. Because your friend didn't have to go and meet a new chick and create a whole relationship with him. You brought this chick to him that he had to be cool with. She didn't go out and meet a new guy because she liked him or, you know, worked at getting to know him. She knew this guy because you brought him to the table to her, and you gave him a sexless place to meet. So you've done them this whole huge favor that they can't do on their own. And to me, it makes them less than.
Yeah.
You know, like, own that.
Yeah, be the bigger guy.
Be the bigger guy. But also, and I'm going to read, I like this Maya Angelou quote. I quote Maya Angelou on
especially
this.
Especially when it comes to...
when it comes to fucking your friend's, buddy, friend's chick. I like it. We should get some Maya Angelou music going right now or something. When someone, and I like this quote because I heard it the other day, and I'm into this quote. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Take a minute. I like that quote because it's like, listen, some people just are who they are, you know? And like, you know, we want some of our friends to be better sometimes than they can be. And some people are just useful at their things that they do. So like this guy, you know, for the rest, you know, you don't have to hate him.
Right.
You don't have to like...
Well, it doesn't reflect well on you. Just being the angry, bitter guy.
Be cool with him, but just don't. But don't trust him. But don't trust him. You know, like he's just an untrustworthy guy.
Right.
And maybe he'll try and work back into your trusted graces. But this is an instinct that 20 years down the line, you're gonna be like, yeah, but he's a guy who would fuck my girlfriend after I dumped her.
Just know what you know who you're dealing with.
Know who you're dealing with. And I think that's more, you know, knowing it and accepting it and having taking the emotion out of it is like, oh, he's a guy who would fuck my ex.
Yeah.
Got it. Not gonna really count on him in my dire moments.
Right.
And I think it's better to know who those people are than to not.
Yeah.
And with this guy, you know it. And that doesn't mean be a dick. That doesn't mean to hold on to the grudge.
No,
just be
a bigger man.
Be a bigger man. Be cool with him.
Just know who you're dealing with.
Just every time you see him, put your finger up to his nose and just be like, yeah, I've smelled it. That's all you got to do. Okay? And he'll know. Just put your finger up to his nose and just be like, you know what I'm talking about. I've been there. and smile and walk away. That's all you got to do. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
That's good advice.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Greg Rogel. At Greg Rogel.
Two G's.
Two G's.
And two L's.
I love that. I love it. All right, so before this, we were talking about it. I saw Dave Chappelle last night.
Yeah.
He showed up, and you've known him forever.
I've known him for years. Yeah,
for years.
Love Dave. He's helped me out in the past.
He has?
Yeah. Yeah, I've toured with him.
He came because Will Sylvans, who was also on the show, he was just with him in London.
Yeah,
and it's just wild that like he just comes up. He's like, "Hey, I'm like, I know who."
Yeah, I did London with him back in like '93.
Really?
Yeah, he was like 18. I was 22, whatever. If I'm doing the math right, but we were kids.
Yeah,
and we toured all over London. And
what was that like?
We had a great time. We went into a strip club during the day once.
The day.
Yeah, it was just me and him. The place was empty.
And the wings.
And
they got the strip club wings out.
The stripper comes out, and she's wearing like a full bodysuit and leotards. Like one piece and leotards. And she puts a towel on the ground, and she goes, "I'm just going to do some stretching exercises for you. I'm not going to take my clothes off." So I'm like, "Yeah, no, you're a stripper. You need to take your clothes off." She goes, "I'm not stripping for you." And then she points to Dave. She goes, "And I'm not stripping for you. You're colored." So he turns to the He turns to the bouncer. He goes, "Yo, can we get another stripper? This one's a racist."
Just ordering new ones. And, this one came out wrong.
Yeah. So the guy just said, "Finish your drinks and get the fuck out of here."
Really?
Yeah, and he just tossed us out. Yeah.
So that was really a racist place.
That was a very racist place.
That was their way of saying, like having the sign outside. You know, separate water fountains in here.
Yeah, that was pretty.
What were we going to a strip club during the day? That was just
we were kicking. We were there for 3 weeks. We had a lot of time, and we wanted to walk. We just walking down the street. We saw a strip club. We're like, let's do it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's so cool. I mean, like, and now you like looking back, you're like you've gone all over the world with comedy. That's insane.
Yeah, a lot of traveling.
A lot of traveling.
Yeah, Dave helped me a lot too. Like when. You know, I had a lot of success in the late 90s. I had a deal with NBC, a deal with Disney. So I had what I thought was a pending sitcom coming out and all this money.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, I was also in an 8-year relationship. Everything fell apart at the same time. Like I had the big breakup
and
the shows didn't get picked up and I was stuck out in LA. I wasn't making a lot of money and I was depressed. And Dave came to my house and he's like, "You need to get back to New York." And so he took me on the road with him. We did a bunch of tour dates. I put some money in my pocket and then I moved back to New York.
Are you happier back in New York?
Yeah, I like working in the city.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's plenty of work for me out here. I've had a foothold here for a long time.
And there's also like an energy. I feel like you go to LA and
LA, it's very isolating, Los Angeles. Just you can't really make a living in Los Angeles and you have to do a lot of road work to make money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the clubs, they pay absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But in New York, there used to be a lot of better clubs here in the city too, about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I was doing like 30 shows a week. Like you can make almost $1,000 a week just running around the city doing
just hustling.
Spots. You really can't do that as much anymore.
Also that I've like gone, LA with nothing to do.
Oh,
it's
killing. The first 3 weeks I was out there, I'm like, "This is easy. This is great." You know, it's
beach.
Yeah, it's nice. It's tropical, and but then by like 3 months into it, I was just ready to blow my fucking head.
It was game over. Yeah. You're like, "Oh, I've seen the same guy in the tight T-shirt at the coffee place every single day. Yeah. How does he even have money?" LA is a place where it's like I don't understand where everyone's getting their money.
No,
because there's a lot of older people that are beautiful. And they're just walking around a Tuesday at 3.
Yeah.
And you're like, "How is this happening?"
You get a weird mix out there. Even like up in Malibu, you get all the rich people, but there are people that have been living in Malibu for 30 years when it wasn't really an expensive place to live. So you get this weird mix of super wealthy and borderline homeless people. You know?
Yeah. And I also think in New York, you have to rub elbows with people, and that makes you, kind of like, It makes everything a little bit more real. Like you're like rubbing elbows with the homeless guy on the subway. You know, like you're like, "Okay, that could happen to me."
Right.
You know, you're rubbing elbows with the girl with a baby who's in her 20s, and you're like, "Okay, that could be me too." You're seeing the old geriatric person in the Upper East Side. You're like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna die soon." Like in LA, you could just be in your car and you're surrounded by your own space.
Right.
You know, there's no, you know,
a lot more time with yourself.
Ooh.
In New York City, everybody's on top of you.
There's no one I don't want to spend more time with than myself. And I just don't. Let's do one more email. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Two different boobs. Two different boobs.
You mean like one on the left is different than the one on the right?
I don't know. It could be two different stupid people.
There you go.
Or it could be two different boobs. This is the fun of the emails. Papa JT, I need your wisdom. First, been listening to the podcast, even turned my female roommate onto it. Keep it up. She wants to personally feather your nuts. Huh. Snap me. anyways, let's get to my problem. I met up with this chick, a 776. We have a rating system here on the podcast.
Okay.
Area code method, face, body, personality, 776.
Okay.
We met online and she came over shortly after we began talking. Within minutes, we were making out and things were getting hot and heavy when she stopped me and said she didn't want to have sex. I was fine with that. We continued, but she seemed to feel the need to defend her choice and stopped once more to say her boobs are different sizes.
Wow.
Boy, how do you even bring that? Listen.
Yeah, that's enough.
I got an A and a B. You decide which is which. Now, I'm not naive. I know no two boobs without surgery are perfectly alike. I agree with him. They're not always alike. But whatever. Anyways, at the stroke of midnight, like Cinderella, she got up and said she had to go home. I have one of those old antique clocks, and as soon as the grandma-loving chime finished singing, something switched inside her. Next thing I know, she's like 4'11", tackles me. Things are getting hotter and heavier than before, and clothes start to come off. I unhook the bra, and then when I see... Then I see what she meant. One boob was a D and the other a B, maybe even an A.
Wow.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how to react, and after seeing my reaction, she quickly redressed and ran out the door.
Wow.
Haven't heard from her since. How do I apologize? And if she does talk to me again, how should I handle the mismatched breasts? Do I fondle one over the other?
Wow, that's an interesting situation.
Listen, only here on the J-Train podcast. Do you get a Maya Angelou quote? Two different titties. Right. an itty titty, big titty disaster. What do you think? What does he do? You ever seen two different sized boobs like that?
Not like that. No, I've never.
It seemed like what happened was they hooked up. She was like, "Do I even trust this guy to like show him this mountain vista that I got going on?" And she was like, and then she did trust him, took him off, and then his reaction wasn't in line with the trust level that she had built up over the time.
He did a spit take, basically.
Yeah. You know, say what? That's how you know. You don't want to respond to the two different size boobs as like you're in a commercial for Pepsi. You're drinking what?
I talk on him like one of those old phones.
Yeah. On the rotary phone, he's got one of the... They said, who's coming to town? You know, how would you... You got to go back to her like hat in hand.
He wants to get back with her.
I would too. I would want to just see...
Just out of curiosity?
Yeah, curiosity. Yeah. Why not, right? I would let her know that I'm like cool with it. Like,
yeah, well, I think when she stopped it to say, hey, just to let you know, I have two...
Yeah.
He should have been like, well, let me see. I'm sure they're fine. And then he's got to react positively to that, but, you know.
And he obviously fucked that up.
Ship has sailed, yeah.
Yeah, that ship sailed. There's nothing he can really do. You can't force someone to feel more comfortable with you. All you can say to her is like, hey, listen, I'm really sorry with how things ended up the other night. I'd love to hang out again. And what you do is you don't make it about... The hangout has to outdo your last hangout. So the next hangout has to be...
Straight motorboat.
You gotta go straight in. You know, it's gotta be equal size boob worthy. You know? You gotta give her a full two boob date for the one and a half boob girl.
I think if he sincerely wants to go out with her again, I think she would
But here's how they met. They met online. She comes right over. There's no investment. She knows that. He's only in it for sex. So the minute he took off the breast, the bra, saw the different boobs, she knew that the one thing that they wanted to be there for, he was disappointed with.
Right. And now if he wants back, she just assumes he has a weird fetish.
Which is what I'm saying I have, apparently. But I'm saying he can go back to her and be like, hey, listen, I'm in it for more than the sex. Like, let's, I'd actually like like to go get coffee.
Yeah, I think she would.
And I think she'd be up for that.
I think so.
And then you give more attention to the smaller tit.
You know, and now that the cat is out of the bag,
yeah,
so to speak, she, yeah, I think that.
Now it's going to be a better conversation.
I think so.
You've gotten over that.
You've gotten past the hump.
You've gotten over the hump. the medium hump and the bigger hump, you know, all at the same time. Attention to the small titty, right?
Huh?
That's the one that gets your attention, right? If you're hooking up, what do you give?
I think perspective-wise, it's like yeah. it's almost like a 3D movie.
Yeah. You took off one of the, lift up one side of the glasses.
One popped out first, the other punched him in the face.
Yeah. I'd love to see him.
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
I'd love to see. Yeah. I'm sure we could Google different sized titties and it would come up.
Let's give that a shot.
You have a computer right in front of you.
We'll do that during the break. Greg, thank you for coming on answering the emails.
Hey, thanks.
This is fantastic. We're going to come back with hypotheticals in the news. All of you go follow Greg on Twitter, @GregRogel. 2 G's, 2 L's. Go check him out. Super funny. We're going to come right back with news and hypotheticals. Stick around.
What's up, guys? This is Rob Fox from the Inside TFM podcast. You can hear us every Thursday talk about all the dumb drunk shit we did and what's going on at TFM and our takes on just what's going on around colleges in the country. So subscribe to us on iTunes or you can catch us on the site every Thursday.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Greg Rogel, thank you for coming on, man.
2 G's.
2 G's, 2 L's.
2 L's.
I love it. That was fantastic. Thank you for answering the emails.
Thanks for having me, man.
During the break, we Googled two different size boobs.
Yes,
and look at this. All I do at Google was two different size boobs. And the first thing that comes up, BuzzFeed, you got to give them credit. They have a list for everything. 21 struggles of having two different size boobs. I didn't know this was a struggle.
How could there be 21?
You are constantly trying to perk the smaller boob up a bit more. I didn't know that this is, I feel like there's like, they have a list. You could search like black woman in a wheelchair lesbian, and it'd be like 30 struggles of being a black woman in a wheelchair with a lesbian with a small tit fetish, you know, like it would come up. Man Sam, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, happy to be here.
At Man Sam on Twitter, Mandatory Samson Podcast every Friday here on the Stand Up New York Labs Network. Here's the last one. 21. You worry about the inevitable sag of your boobs as you age and wonder if the larger one is going to look completely different.
Yeah, it will. It's bigger.
Yeah, that's where the little boob comes into play.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, well, over time, the little boob becomes the better boob.
The better boob, yeah. It's like a child, you know, the one that like doesn't do as well in school at first, that's the one that's the real genius.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one that has to overcome and, you know, come out of it. So let's do some news.
Oh, I thought we were going to do some hypotheticals.
Oh, we could do a hypothetical.
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, whatever.
I like this one. This is a good one. So the hypothetical you read a few episodes back got me thinking. You were really into Jennifer Love Hewitt. So here's my question. Okay, so Jennifer Love Hewitt, I gave... What was the... That was a while ago.
Yeah, it feels like a while ago.
We did a hypothetical. It's like, what celebrity would you want to get with?
Mm-hmm.
And Jennifer Love Hewitt was my go-to. Which celebrity with three names would be your go-to lay?
Ah. Oh.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Melissa Joan Hart, Mary-Kate Olsen, Neil Patrick Harris,
wow.
Michael Clark Duncan, any others I'm leaving off.
Lee Thought Harvey of Oswald.
Jackie Joyner-Kersee, Lee Harvey Oswald, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Jamie Lynn Spears, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Jamie Lynn Sigler,
Carl Anthony Towns. You have any three namers that you'd go with?
Yeah, go back from the twin from Full House. What's her name?
Ashley and...
Yeah, Mary-Kate Olsen.
Mary-Kate Olsen, that's the one?
Yeah, that would be the one.
She looks like a, you know, a mop at this point. Just a mop stick held up with, you know, smoky makeup. What do you think?
Sarah Michelle Gellar was the first one to come to mind, but Jamie Lynn Sigler for sure from
Julia
The Sopranos.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I am so into her right now. I how do you stay hot for that long and funny and everything?
Yeah, she does have it all, doesn't she?
She has it all.
Yeah.
She is, and I was thinking about her the other day. She's the only one that could just go from sitcom to sitcom.
Yeah.
She went from Seinfeld successful to the old.
Yeah, New Adventures of Old Christine.
New Adventures of Old Christine successful. Veep successful. Yeah. It's crazy.
But she's the only one who really doesn't need the work. And she's already a multi-millionaire.
Multi. Yeah. There's no, I mean, like, and then she goes on Curb and she nails it on there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, she's very talented.
Oh my God. I just want to be around that.
Yeah.
And also, she looks fucking hot.
Oh, if she had two different sizes tits, it wouldn't even make a difference.
I go with it. I don't even care if one's an A and one's a double D, which would be wild. That's what I want to see, the A double D. Let's do one more.
All right.
Oh, the internet here.
I don't know. I'm so distracted during the show. I can't even get the wireless network, won't even show up on my computer for some reason. It's driving me insane.
This is bad.
I don't know what's going on. Well, whatever. I got the news.
Let's do some news.
So, Malia Obama, another picture came out of her. A couple of weeks ago, a picture came out of her at like Lollapalooza or whatever the fuck event. And she was, it appeared that she was smoking a joint with her friends. Now, another picture came out where she's sitting in like a dorm room or whatever. And there's a huge bong in front of her. She's not smoking out of it, but like, you know, you got to assume she's in the room. She's probably smoking it. And she's wearing a shirt that says smoking kills, which she's definitely high wearing that t-shirt.
It's hilarious.
But it's, it was at University of Pennsylvania, a frat house. It's kind of weird to me, though, that people still get annoyed at it. It's like, what do you want her to do? Yeah.
Yeah. She's a kid.
Right. And she's taking a year off between having no life living at the White House and going to Harvard. So it's not like she's a fuck up.
Is that what she's doing? She's taking a year off?
Yeah, she's taking a break. Yeah.
A break from what?
Like
having servants at the White House?
Well, you know, the 24-hour surveillance and all that shit. It's like, it's a lot, I'm sure.
If I were her, I'd just go abroad. Like, why would she even stay here? But I guess she's probably not, has some restrictions on that.
Security concerns probably, yeah.
What do you think? I don't know. Do people care about this shit?
Yes.
I don't know why. I mean, but, you know, I guess they hold her to a higher standard because she's the president.
Yeah, but what kind of loser kid is like, my role model is Malia Obama? Like, that's a loser. If that's your role model, like, they're supposed to be role models. No, they're not.
Right. Well, but that's not really what it's about,
they're
though.
They're fucking kids. Yeah, they're kids of the president. They literally, all they had to do was be...
Born.
Yeah. And that's their role model? No, fuck no.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, what a lazy parent. To be like, look up to Malia Obama.
It's for people to score points against. You know, it's like, oh, look at Obama's kid now fucking up. You know what I mean? It's like,
right. Those people I like because they're almost cartoons of themselves.
They're total cartoons.
Yeah, like oh, look at what Obama's teaching his kids. Like, no, that's not even
right.
Like a genuine point.
Well, same thing with Hillary being sick. Look, she's sick. She can't be president.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of bullshit.
How's Malia looking?
She looks good. Like, what do you mean? Like, physically, does she look like she's a drug addict?
Is she a good-looking girl?
Yeah, I got the picture here. I could show. Oh, if the internet's not working, so we can't look at it.
Will she be hot? That's my question.
Yeah, I mean, she's attractive. I mean, she's going into college now. It's like, she looks good.
How about, what do you think?
Well, just being the president's daughter kind of adds a couple of notches to her anyway.
I love how uncomfortable people get. Like, I guess you have to have some respect for the office of the president. But we can't say that she's going to be hot.
We can say it.
Okay. Michelle looks terrific. Michelle's gotten hotter over time.
Michelle has gotten hotter since she first got in.
Yeah.
I do agree with that. Those arms, though, she'll take you the fuck out.
Absolutely.
Well, let's do another story.
Kim Jong-un, everybody's favorite dictator from North Korea, apparently just forbade people from making sarcastic comments at all about the regime the other day. Examples of a sarcastic expression that you can't say is like, this is all America's fault. Like, you know, like blaming something that's obviously not America's fault on America. So no sarcastic comments whatsoever, especially because there's been a lot of like graffiti mocking the government over the last couple of weeks. So I guess they're worried that people are like coming out of it a little bit, but that's a fucking bizarre place.
The more we hear about Kim Jong-un, the more I start to hate Malia Obama.
Oh my God! Why?
He's the kid of a dictator.
Yeah.
This is the kid of the president probably has a lot of problems with sarcasm too. They never had to deal with this shit. You know, like I just don't like. I'm obviously joking, but yeah. I do think that like he can't handle any. Like, can you imagine having to, like, if he really hung out with people?
You know. In his defense, which I never thought I'd ever say this, it's actually probably a pretty tough life for him because, you know, he, even though people, he's very well hated.
Yes.
People are looking, he's constantly looking over his shoulder because somebody's going to try to kill him. I mean, I think a lot of his policy is just driven straight from paranoia.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
So any sarcastic comment leads to
could possibly lead to him being assassinated.
Yeah. They'd be like, no, that joke was really funny. And now I'm actually thinking about it. Yeah. And to your point, he's also the only one in that country that has access to hearing what's going on in the whole world. That's true. So he hears that he is the butt of the world's jokes.
He's the only one with BuzzFeed, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's the only one looking at 21 ways Kim Jong-un's haircut fucking sucks today.
Right.
And no one else in the country, like in the country, yeah, they think he's fucking God.
But he knows
that he's the only one that knows.
He knows he ain't a God.
He ain't a God.
Yeah.
And he has to keep perpetuating it.
Yeah, and if there's any joke about that, that jeopardizes the fact that it's like, yeah, of course he hit 18 holes in one that time he went golfing. Like, you know, it's like all that shit. Because that's sarcastic. That's insane.
Yeah,
like, he's so great, but it's serious.
I mean, you know, if I was him, maybe I'd be executing people left and right. Yeah. I have no idea.
You'd have to be.
I'm not in that position.
If you could be one of two people, homeless guy in New York or Kim Jong-un.
I'm going Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
No question.
I'd be Kim Jong.
Oh, no doubt.
Middle class guy in the Midwest or Kim Jong-un?
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un. So you got to kill a couple people.
A few lives
are worth me, you know, getting to sit on a golden throne.
Yeah.
That's a good way to live, being Kim Jong-un, I got to say.
It's a very strange way. It's probably better to be like one of these Middle Eastern dictators as opposed to, because at least you're in a world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you can have these lectures.
Hold on. You met a couple of Middle Eastern
princes.
Princes.
You know, partied with the prince in his palace in Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
What was that like?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's no drinking.
No drinking.
It's banned. Yeah, you can't drink.
So what do they do?
They have these guys come around with, it's Arabic coffee.
He was,
I think he was the grandson of the first king of Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
And he was the one who actually brought us in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, I just came along for the ride. This is Russell's joint. You know
what
I mean? And then they love Russell.
So Russell's as much a king to
them. That was his first
time
also in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
But actually Russell met with the king of Jordan while we were performing in Jordan.
Wow.
And, which is pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. So wait, you go and party and they don't have alcohol.
After the show, yeah, it's a big, they had like it was like the top singer in the Middle East.
Mm.
He performed for us. And he had this big feast.
Okay.
And you drink Arabic coffee, which is, it's made from coffee beans, but it kind of tastes like shit. And you have to keep.
It's good shit.
Like the guy showed me the hand signs to tell the guy stop, because you know, I didn't know how strong the coffee was. And it's really strong. So you gotta wave the guy off. We'll just keep pouring it and pouring and pouring it. And they also have this Saudi champagne, which is sort of like this bubbly apple juice with fruit in it. It tastes pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's no drinking.
One's drunk. They're just high on the caffeine.
And it's weird. You know, it was mostly men. Like the guy singing and the men are dancing. It's, you know, for a country that bans homosexuality, it was a fucking sausage fest.
That's insane. So when do the girls come? Like, when are they all married? Is everyone there married? Like,
A woman can't. She has to even. She can't even leave the house alone. Like, they have to. They have to have their husband with them or a family member.
So what are they rationalizing? I mean, this is what are they saying is fun? Like, what are they saying the next day? Like, oh, that was so much fun when you danced with me
at the end of the party.
Yeah.
Everybody hunted me. the big Jew hunt.
Yeah. Release the Jew.
Actually, we went. They invited me to go camping in the desert.
Mm.
And my first thought was, no, I'm not doing this. But then. It was the prince's assistant. He said, "Why don't you come out? Why don't you come out the desert? I'll show you what I'm talking about." So, like three of us went out, and they brought ATVs, and we went driving on the sand dunes.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
That's great.
And he showed us he had these big campgrounds. He had like seven giant tents. One was the dining room. One was the living room.
No way.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool. And
so you just hang out. They have TV.
There was no TVs in the. In the desert.
Mm.
But
I'm such a fucking lazy American. I'm like, there's no sports center? How'd you fucking live? That's great.
It was very, very interesting. Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing.
Completely different world.
And then you come back and you're like, put on New York One.
back in New York.
Back in New York. Back to reality. That's crazy. Well, we got any more news stuff?
I could just mention real quick, again, the internet was sort of out, but on the last one, somebody written in about the ITT tech going out of business.
What is going on?
So apparently there's a lot of like attorneys general across the country that have been looking into the way that they raise money and how their like loan process works, and that they're making kind of like false claims about job perspective, prospective jobs after you get out of the program. So there were some issues there, but they shut them down just immediately, they haven't been convicted of anything officially, ITT. So it's thrown these, you know, people that thought they were starting college in the fall, it's thrown them way out of the loop here, and they have to transfer to other places now.
So, go ahead.
Well, you know, they also had a big thing with the Wells Fargo Bank, where they were they were creating false accounts, regular customers' accounts, so they can charge them hidden fees, and they made probably over $1 billion.
Yeah, well,
so when they got caught, nobody got prosecuted. They just hit them with a $185 million fine. So what they did was they fired 5,300 workers and said, "Well, these are the people that did it." But if you have 5,300 workers creating false accounts, obviously you're doing it from the guy, you know, the guy at
this
top.
This was a directive.
This is a direct order, right? So you know, and nobody's getting prosecuted. So I think these guys need to go to jail. They need to go to a real jail and get really raped like regular fucking people. And that's how you're going to stop the next financial crisis.
Yeah, we need some bankers getting fucked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Bankers and ITT tech people need to get fucked.
Absolutely.
This is what we're saying.
See, this would never happen under Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. Right?
No.
We need a leader we can support. Absolutely. Kim Jong-un. I don't know. I think with this is the beginning of the end to me. Like, for the ITT tech, I think they're coming after ITT tech because it's easy.
Yeah.
Like, public scrutiny can really go against them because it's the least form of college. You know, like, you're going after, like, kind of a punchline of colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But there's a lot of for-profit university, or all these universities are for-profit. Like, if you think they're not...
No, of course.
And
they're all making a false claims to a certain extent. Like, you graduate, you're going to get a job. No, it's not the case.
Not
the case.
And are they paying off, like, Princeton Review? Like, what's their relationship with schools, like, with review places like that?
Right.
That was kind of like with the crediting agencies, with the banks. They were all getting paid by the banks. So, like, of course you're going to get triple A rated.
Right.
And you kind of think of it with the schools. Like, when people say to me, they're like, "Well, this is the number one business school in the country." I'm like, "Wait a minute, you're in Indiana."
Right.
This isn't. I've never looked at a resume from someone from IU Bloomington and been like, "Oh my, the king of business has arrived." Like, I've looked at it and been like, "Oh, you went to Little Five and you've partied your fucking ass off."
Right.
And I do have guys that are in college say to me all the time, "They're like, well, you know, I go to business school. I went to Penn State, and I'll have people that went to Penn State. They'll be like, I went to Smeal." Because that's the name of the business school. And I'm like, "Dude, shut the fuck up."
Right.
Smeal, you went to Penn State, okay, where I walked around in overalls with nothing underneath on Saturdays and drank.
That was a direct order from Jerry Sandusky.
Yes. That was his rules, not mine. And I drank from my hair.
Right.
A wig that I wore. So don't fucking think so high. So, like, all these universities have these, like, kind of, like, pronouncements that they are the number one in this, number one in that. And you're like, "I don't know. It sounds like we're just giving you a ton of money."
Yeah. Well, it's like J.D. Power and Associates. Like, every car commercial, like, "The number one rated, blah, blah, blah." It's like, yeah, you all have awards that you're giving yourselves. But, you know, what does that actually matter in the scheme of things?
It's insane. So, I don't know. With ITT Tech, I'm like, I feel bad for someone who signed up for that. But I think I feel bad for them in general.
Right.
You know, like, I don't think that maybe that's, like, you're putting money into maybe something that, like, or why don't you go to... But ITT Tech does teach you actual, like, quantifiable
skills.
Yeah, it's
a technical institute.
So, like, maybe that they're going after the wrong thing, I think. Like, I mean, I went and did shows at, like, Florida Gulf Coast. And that's a school that was invented 10 years ago. And they have a beach on campus. And then you can go water skiing any day of the week. And you can sign out the water skiing boat. And if you go there right now, you're like, "Yeah, fuck yeah." But, like, that's not reality. Like, that has nothing to do with, are you getting a good education? I'm sure... You get what you put into it. So if you're going and be like, "Well, I'm at college, I'm in a great school." Yeah, but if you walk away with a D, you're still a D.
Right.
You know, so they can't fucking get, it's like a government. You can't be given everything. You know, you can only do so much for you.
Right. Yeah, but you could be given some stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the argument.
We'll give you the water ski boat.
Right.
And then you can use it to the best of your ability. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Greg Rogel, thank you for coming on. This is fantastic.
Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome to have you. All of you go get on board with Greg at Greg Rogel. 2 G's, 2 L's. Go follow him, support him. He's a fantastic comic. So much fun to watch. Mansamp, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, dude.
At Mansamp on Twitter, Mandatory Samson Podcast every Friday here on the Stand-Up New York Labs Network. I'm Jared Free, JTrain56 on all platforms. We'll be back next episode. Boom!
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boom!